right, we are back on Big Board Sports. We talk UAlbany men's basketball with Dwayne Killings on the show. DK, how are you?
Morning, man. How are you?
We are good. We are absolutely good. And I know you get set for a lot of basketball here very quickly, right? You're going to embark on three games in 3 days. You're going to test the depth of your team here, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's kind of crazy. We're going to Montreal, another country, to go play Colgate and Fordham up there. But it's a good challenge for us. I mean, you know, Colgate's been to the NCAA tournament for the last 5 years. Really good program, well coached. Matt Langle's done a great job. He and I worked together at Temple, and Fordham's got a new coach. I think they're trying to find their way, but they're talented. And, you know, we're going to play three games in 3 days, and I think it's a chance for us to get together, spend a lot of time, you know, get deeper as a family, as a program, play a lot of basketball, and figure out, like, how we take the next step of growth. I thought second half against Siena, if we can put 40 minutes together like that, we got a chance to take the next step that we want, but we got to do it for a full game.
Yeah, I know you're also talking to your players about, you know, eating right, sleeping right, taking care of the body, because when you do go back to back, you got to consider all of those things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, today they're going to come to the house. We're going to have a Thanksgiving, you know, meal early. We'll get on the road tomorrow. You got to hydrate yourself first. You got to rest. You got to get real meals. You can't fill yourself up on, you know, fast food and all that, because usually it's game two or three that catches up to you. And that happened to us last year when we were in Puerto Rico. We played great for two games, and the third game we just didn't have our legs. We got to have them for this full, you know, trip they're about to embark on.
Coach, what's been your message to the team at practice this week? Where's an area overall, collectively as a team, you want to see them improve heading into the back-to-back-to-back here?
Yeah, offensively, you know, we've done a drill. We call it perfect possession, and it's just about execution, you know, echoing the call, screening, running plays the right way. I mean, we're down four against Siena, and, you know, we don't echo the call. Two guys think we're doing one play, three guys think we're doing another. And the execution, you know, it really haunted us, you know, there. We focused on that. And then, you know, discipline. I mean, you know, it was a huge play. Like, I think Zach's intentions are great. But, you know, Foliak gets a post-up opportunity, and we just foul him for no reason. We're just not disciplined enough. So we talked a lot about that. And then, you know, I think there's some things that we've done in flashes that we just got to double down on. We spent a lot of time on that. We're going to take the floor here in a few minutes and have a really good practice today and another one tomorrow and then head out to Montreal.
Coach, in that second half against Siena, were you making a concerted effort at least early on to take advantage of Okeke and throw the ball down on the blocks, low post in the half court? It looked like that was part of the plan.
Yeah, I mean, we need more perimeter scoring from guys beyond Amir Lindsey, but one of the things that we have is, you know, we have some front court guys that I think that can score. You know, Chris Okeke is a great athlete, got great size. I think he's finding his confidence, which I thought that really helped in the Paul Smith game at home, is we rode that wave, especially in the second half against Siena. And then Isaac Abide joined in, and we got to be able to play through the paint some. I mean, you know, I think he is a lob threat. He's great in transition, all those things, but we got to be intentional about putting the ball in his hands. And he's shown the ability to pass out of the post also, which is going to be huge for us.
Yeah, 6'10 on the inside, back to the basket. He can do some damage. And Abide at 6'9, Coach, can really step out and shoot the three. And we saw that against Siena. He made a couple of big threes and one in that left corner he buried. So maybe more of that on this road trip.
Yeah, I mean, Isaac's been a little frustrated, I think, through the first three or four games because it wasn't going the way he wanted offensively. And, you know, he makes a huge post-up, bangs a big three. I'm just hoping his confidence now is going. And, you know, last night I'm leaving the office and he's in the gym, you know, with the GA shooting. You know, it's all there. You know, now he's got to keep developing it, keep encouraging it. And Isaac's going to have a great year because he's so versatile. I thought that was the first big step. You know what? Okay, you didn't come out the year playing the way you wanted to, but, you know, take the Siena game in the second half and then ride the momentum from that.
DK, how much are you going to be leaning on Amir Lindsey here in this trip to Quebec?
All season. I mean, you know, I mean, he's our leader. He's our rock. You know, he's super consistent. Another guy, he's in the gym 7:15 this morning, you know, getting his shots, getting his routine in. You know, Amir's got to be kind of the pace setter. And I think for us to grow, we got to get some pressure off of him, though. And that's where Jaden Kimpson comes in. Nasir Muhammad, you know, we need him to have more impactful minutes. And I thought Miles Rose showed some promise too when he got out there. But, you know, Amir's going to be, you know, the guy that makes us go.
DK, when are you getting some of the injured guys back? What's the status report on some of these guys who haven't seen the court yet?
Yeah, we've had a couple guys unavailable, and I don't know exactly when they'll be back. You know, we're optimistic we can see them in uniform in the month of December, but you just got to wait, you know, until the right timing and their availability happens. But, you know, I think, again, for us, I think what I'm hoping is, you know, you get to January, you get to February, this gap of time is a blessing in disguise because guys are getting minutes. You know, guys are going to play 3 games in 3 days and they won't be available. But I'm hopeful that those minutes are really strong for these other guys. And, you know, when we have a complete team, then you know what? We become deeper and more dangerous.
Is Naz Muhammad your best 3-point shooter?
Yeah, he has the potential to be, without question. I mean, Naz can really, really burn the nets. You know, and I think he's shown it in flashes. You know, I think he's probably – I think Amir can find it. But, you know, if you get him a shot, he's going to make it. And, you know, we need Naz to do that. We're going to need him to make shots all weekend long.
Well, it should be an interesting trip for you, back-to-back-to-back games, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck and happy Thanksgiving, DK, to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. You know, enjoy your family. I hope everybody listening enjoys their family and the time, and enjoy listening to the games. We'll have MJ out there with us, and Roger, enjoy your time with your family also.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate you.
Thanks,
Take
Coach.
Care. That's Dwayne Killings, UAlbany men's basketball coach, missing a couple of guys right now that he said would, you know, still trying to figure out when they would return. They're just not available to play at the moment. And obviously one of those players is the well-regarded Will Richardson, who's the redshirt junior who, you know, in the preseason was getting high accolades.
Transfer from Fordham, right?
Yeah, and boy, when it just talking to other people about him, like
the hype is there.
He is a difference. I've never seen him play, so I don't know. But from what I am hearing, man, is he really good.
Yeah, internally within the team on the Marquette trip, they couldn't have said enough big things about this Will Richardson. To join Amir Lindsey in that backcourt, I think
consistently. That would be dangerous.
Dangerous. We'll see when he comes back.
I mean, if he's as good as advertised, you put Will Richardson in the backcourt with Amir Lindsey.
Throw him in there.
In time for conference play.
Yeah, Zachary Mitulu.
And I don't know exactly what the issues are, but if you get him back in time for January in the America East conference play,
that's
backcourt, I can't imagine there'd be a better backcourt in the America East than what you would be rolling out at the University of Albany.
Might go unbeaten at that rate, right?
I don't know about going unbeaten, but I think they would be very dangerous team. Not that they're already a dangerous team with the lineup that they roll out there, but
I think they're a top four roster on paper, I would think, going in.
Which is where they were last year.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Vermont rolls out and what kind of start they get out to. And I'm anxious to see what Siena does going to Washington, D.C. They're going to play Maine. They play Longwood. Name me the second school.
American.
Thank you. And then they got Maine. So we'll see Maine against Siena. What kind of matchup will that be?
Maine hasn't won a game yet, but it's not a conference. They get a tough non-conference.
Right, and Maine was picked, number two along with you, Albany?
Yes, tied for second.
In the American
And they were
conference.
In the championship game last year against Bryant, Maine, too.
Yeah. All right, we are back on Big Four Sports Thanksgiving Eve show ahead of the Big Turkey Day. And what a lineup in the National Football League tomorrow. And let's bring on Freddie Coleman from ESPN. And Freddie, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, my friend. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes.
And happy Thanksgiving to everybody there and everybody who's going to be around each other and giving a lot to be thankful for this holiday season, my brother. Can't wait to have a part of that Thanksgiving Day celebration. That's going to be fantastic.
Oh.
On and off, out away from the table, TV, whatever's going to be going on. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Weekend. I mean, the lineup. I mean, I can even deal with the Bengals at night because I think Cincinnati could pull off a little win with Burrow back against the Ravens. But let's start with the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions, which kicks things off at 1 o'clock, and Detroit at home favored by 3 points.
Yeah, the one thing I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I think this is the most important game for anybody that feels named Jordan Love for the Green Bay Packers, because we've seen him have those sporadic moments this year. We've seen the wide receivers be less than stellar in that room, and they won't have Josh Jacobs to help out in the running game. But they have an elite defense when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, and that is something that will give the Detroit Lions problems. And the Detroit Lions defense, well, we saw the New York Giants did to them last week, even though the Giants moved that game by having a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. If you're Jordan Love, those plays are going to be there. Can you make those throws? Can those wide receivers make those kind of plays? I think everything is going to be square right around the arm, the legs, the head, and the feet of Jordan Love in this game against Detroit.
Freddie, the 4:30 game, another great one between the Chiefs and Cowboys, especially with the fact that Dallas somehow actually beat a good team this year in the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams fighting for a playoff spot, obviously. Kansas City favored by 3.5, but for some reason, I think this game is going to be going to have a lot of fireworks here, Freddie. What say you?
I don't doubt that, because you have Patrick Mahomes leading the league in yards passing per game at over 270. But the Dallas Cowboys have an elite offense with their offensive line, how they're able to minimize what the Eagles' pass rush could not do against them. George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, and I know people make a big deal about CeeDee Lamb dropping the football. Believe me, he's going to work his way out of that. He has not had a history of doing that before. Everybody will have those kind of moments that they have, those kind of slumps. He's going to be just fine. They got that running game with Javonte Williams. So you have an elite quarterback with an elite, at times, offense on one side of Kansas City and an elite offense on the other side, Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be a defensive coordinator's nightmare, whether you're Steve Spagnuolo on one side for Kansas City and definitely Matt Eberflus on the other side for the Dallas Cowboys.
Freddie, what team is it more important to win this game on Thursday between Kansas City and Dallas?
Well, for the NFL playoffs, it's more important for Kansas City to be there. But for the NFL, in terms of revenue, it's more important for the Cowboys to be there. But taking that outside and taking that out of the equation, the Chiefs is more important to them, because the AFC is not going to come back to them. They have to rise to that kind of level. A lot of people still don't believe the Dallas Cowboys are going to make the playoffs unless they run the table. I think if Dallas wins this game tomorrow, I think they will get into the playoffs. But if you're Kansas City, and so many of the tiebreakers are going to be against you, whether it's the Los Angeles Chargers right now, or the Denver Broncos, or the Jacksonville Jaguars, if there's any kind of head-to-head tie situation, you're going to lose that. So as many wins you can stack up, and they had to call it a comeback last week because they looked dead in the water in the fourth quarter against the Indianapolis Colts before they won that game in overtime. If you're Kansas City, it's really important for them to find a way to get this win and make sure enough distance doesn't keep being between you and everybody else competing for the final spots in the AFC.
Freddie, it's interesting because in the preseason, the narrative was, all right, is this the year that the Buffalo Bills can get over the hump and beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl? Man, that seems to have blown up.
Yeah, because right now the Buffalo Bills run defense is beating the Buffalo Bills, and it was just unbelievable how they were never able to double-team the defensive ends of the Houston Texans last week. Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter were on one, and they kept trying to block them with five guys, and then your quarterback winds up getting sacked 8 times and getting hit 6 additional times. So if you're the Buffalo Bills, what can you do? Because you're not going to be able to fix the run defense between now and the end of the season. But what can you do to make sure that everything does not fall at the feet and also on the plate of Josh Allen, their quarterback? That means you have to incorporate the running game more with James Cook. You got to give him the ball a little bit more. You know, until Dalton Kincaid gets back, you got to find a way to spread the ball out all over the place. But more importantly, you got to make sure you protect Josh Allen. The days of we can block him with five, no, those days are over this year. They don't have that kind of offensive line play. So what can you do to have 6 to max protect, run the football a little bit more, get the ball to the wide receivers on time, and make sure your quarterback is not under siege that we've seen more than a couple of times, and it really came to fruition 6 days ago against the Houston Texans.
Yeah, now they're going to Pittsburgh on Sunday. I've got to believe that Aaron Rodgers will be back at quarterback, and we'll see what the Steelers can do at home against Buffalo. That's another big game for both those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're the Buffalo Bills, you know you have a defense on the other side of Pittsburgh Steelers that will give up points, and you also have a quarterback that is terrific as Aaron Rodgers has been. He still is playing with a fractured wrist, so you got to worry about how can he protect himself, how can the offensive line protect him, and they've been up and down as well. That's going to be an interesting game. That could be reminiscent, Roger, of this before a lot of people's time. Those old AFL games in the 60s where you have bombs bursting in there, maybe the first one, the 31, may not win this game on Sunday, depending on the weather between Pittsburgh and Buffalo.
Freddie, you look at this Giants team with Jackson Dart potentially playing Monday night. Jameis Winston against the Lions was really good. The problem is the defense, and hence Shane Bowen getting fired is the reason for their blown leads. 2-10 against 10-2. But interested to see if that spread moves down with Jackson Dart playing on Monday. Do you think with him in the lineup they can compete here and potentially pull off an upset Monday night at New England?
Well, whether he's in the lineup or not, the way that Jameis Winston's played the past couple of weeks, they can do more than compete. The problem is the Patriots, the way they can stop the run. And also, I think their quarterback, Drake May, has done a much better job protecting himself and protecting the football, where he's not having these wayward throws. He's not trying to do too much. He's really seemed to settle in being the quarterback of this football team. But I think whoever's under center, there are going to be plays that are going to be made out there, because Mike Kafka is not going to keep the job, but he's making a great case for himself to be an offense coordinator with somebody else. What he's been able to do with Jameis Winston in the last couple of weeks, and before he got injured with Jackson Dart, they had a lead against Chicago Bears on the road in that ball game not too long ago. So in this game, where a Patriots team, they very rarely run away from people. If you make mistakes against them, they will turn that, but they're not the kind of team that's going to put up 34 points and beat you 34-10. So you're the New York Giants. If you can manage protecting the football and really keep the Patriots under wraps a little bit, make them work their way down the field, yeah, you could find yourself in a ball game in the fourth quarter and a chance to pull an upset, which means that if the Giants have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, take the Patriots will want to win in that game anyway.
So many great games coming up this weekend. I mean, how about the Friday game, Freddie? The Philadelphia Eagles, you know, they get beat. Now they're back home. They're favored by 7. Chicago's having a really good season. What do you make of Philadelphia at home? Can they put it together offensively and get Saquon Barkley going?
Well, I don't think it's so much about Saquon Barkley going, Roger. It is a fair point, because last week, 22 yards rushing against the Cowboys, the lowest amount of yards rushing he's had since he's been a Philadelphia Eagle. I think you got to find that right rhythm and right pace of this offense. And that means getting the ball on the outside to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, your tight end Dallas Goedert. Or here's an idea. How about get Saquon Barkley the ball in space on a couple of screen passes? I know that worked last year. I don't know why that's gone away from that offense this year. I think it's all about finding a rhythm and attacking pace that has been sorely lacking from the Philadelphia Eagles, because they're doing everything they can to try to reestablish the running game. Well, maybe the best way to establish that running game is you're making plays on the outside, then the defense backs up, and then you have that running room, even though your offensive line has been banged up. On the other side, you got a Bears defense that may not be top shelf, but they're top shelf one category, and that is forcing turnovers. Nobody does it better this year than the Chicago Bears. And now you have a quarterback and offense on the other side that can turn that into 7 points and not just 3 points. So Philadelphia's got to be very, very careful, because 21-0 losing that lead is still in the back of their minds. And that's going to be a very nervous building in Philadelphia, with a hot Bears team coming in leading NFC North and the Eagles offense that's not even been fair to Midland so far this year.
Can the Jets beat the Falcons on Sunday?
Yeah, they can, because I think Kirk Cousins threw a couple of interceptions. I think that'll work in the New York Jets' favor. He got his, you know, welcome back to the NFL moment winning that game against the Aints, because you can't call them the Saints. But this Jets team is going to fight you for 60 minutes, and we saw that against the Baltimore Ravens. I think Aaron Glenn's got to do a much better job coaching this football team in terms of the decisions that he's going to make. It's one thing to show confidence in your team, but you got to think of the bigger picture. You can't be just going for it on fourth and short all the time in the middle of the field, thinking the offense is going to get it. And if they don't get it, then the defense will keep the opposing offense out of the end zone, because that has not worked. I think he's got to get better at that, because he's got a team that will run through a wall for him. But he can't keep letting them down with those less than stellar coaching decisions that can unravel your football team and turn the game against your team and in favor of the other team.
Freddie, I need your help before I let you go. I picked the Baltimore Ravens against the Bengals, but Burrow is now going to play at quarterback. Should I switch my pick, Freddie, and go with the Bengals to pull off an upset against a Ravens team, and Lamar Jackson just doesn't look like the Lamar Jackson that we have seen?
No, don't switch your pick. If this game was in Cincinnati, I would say, yeah, switch it up, because Baltimore's a 7-point favorite. And you're exactly right. Lamar Jackson dealt with the toe injury and the hamstring injury and everything else. So, of course, he's not going to look right, because his body has been bruised and beat up. So that means you're Baltimore Ravens. You're playing a defense on the other side that can't do anything. They can't stop the pass. They can't stop the run. As Bart Scott said, they can't stop a nosebleed. So if you're going to reduce that on Lamar Jackson, give the ball to Derrick Henry. Give the ball to the other running backs, part of your stable, the Baltimore Ravens. But I wouldn't switch my pick. This Ravens defense has kept getting better and better the last 4 to 5 weeks. They've really done a good job with that. If they run the ball like they should against a weak Bengals defense, there'll be no need to switch your pick.
Freddie, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Have a great show this afternoon, and we really appreciate you popping on here on ESPN Radio in Albany.
Thanks, Freddie.
I always appreciate you guys. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. Thank you, Freddie.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Freddie Coleman, afternoons here on 104.5 The Team, with his take on the games tomorrow and the game that I said will draw the most eyeballs and the biggest rating. They're anticipating 50 million people. 50 million people. To be watching Dallas and Kansas City at 425.
Are you going to take?
$50 million.
That's a lot.
Yeah. All right, we're back on Big Board Sports, NFL picks in the Times Union every Sunday. And the man in charge of making that happen is Pete Doherty, and he's with us every week and normally on a Thursday, but we bump him to a Wednesday because of Thanksgiving. And good morning, Pete. How are you?
Good morning, Roger. Now I hear you're trying to get advice from Freddie Coleman just to improve your picks. That's pretty drastic on your part, huh?
It is. I mean, I think Cincinnati at least can make this a game with Burrow at quarterback tomorrow night. And I'll be watching the game with Brady, and so I really want to root for the Bengals. So I'm a little torn there right now. It's Baltimore, but we'll see. When you change it, you oftentimes get burnt, so I probably just should leave it alone. What do you think?
I'm thinking that's probably not a bad theory. I've been burnt more often than not trying to change a pick, so once you make up your mind, just stay with it.
All right, well, we got some great games tomorrow. Looking forward to a lot of NFL football. We'll start with Green Bay, +3 at Detroit, and certainly on Turkey Day in Detroit. Lions aren't playing great right now, but Detroit's going to win that game.
I agree with you, but I wouldn't necessarily think it's a foregone conclusion. Green Bay's beaten them once already this year, and never know. The crazy things seem to happen in Detroit on Thanksgiving. The bad teams that they have would seem to find a way to win, and the good teams would find a way to lose. But I like Detroit. The line's down to 2.5. That's not a whole lot to make a difference. So I'll take Detroit, and I'll give it 2.5.
All right, who do you, in the big game everyone's buzzing about? Kansas City -3.5 going to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. I like Kansas City here -3.5.
I would argue that Green Bay, Detroit's a bigger game. They're better teams, and you got Dallas might not make the playoffs, but Kansas City at Dallas will be the highest rated game of the year, maybe the highest rated game in many years. Just the way things, Thanksgiving audiences are always going to be large anyways, and you got two teams that have large followings. All that said, I agree. I like Kansas City. They're getting Pacheco back. I think they're playing a little bit better, and if the line is down to 3, I still think I would give the points there.
All right. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Ravens and Lamar Jackson, he's banged up. They don't look great, but you know, we know Cincinnati is Cincinnati. They are getting Burrow back, but right now I'll keep my pick and take Baltimore to win that game.
You know, that could be the most entertaining game of the three just because both teams' defenses have been suspect. I think you're going to see some points in that game. Obviously, Burrow's back, but you wonder how much rust he's going to have. Certainly, Baltimore is favored with reason. I'm giving the 7 points here, too. I just think that the Bengals' defense just isn't good enough to stop Lamar Jackson. So give the 7. Hope for a game in the 30s or 40s, and be a great way to cap off Thanksgiving.
There you go. And then you roll into Friday. Don't forget, there was a Friday NFL game, and it could be entertaining. Chicago Bears +7, Pete, going to Philadelphia. Will the Eagles be fly Eagles fly on offense this week? They're due. I like Philadelphia to win this game at home on Friday.
I do, too. But you know, the Bears have surprised me. I keep picking against them, and they keep finding a way to win. I believe they still have a minus points differential, which is unbelievable for an 8-3 team. But like the Eagles to win, I actually like the Bears to cover. I guess I'm trying to cover my bases here, and they've burned me enough, so maybe I'll have them one way, but not to win the game outright.
All right, now we roll into Sunday. We'll go two at a time here, Pete. Atlanta -2.5 at the Jets. I got the Jets winning this game, and then San Francisco at Cleveland. San Francisco -6.5. I think the 49ers will get the victory, but I think Cleveland with Shador at quarterback might step up and play. I mean, his debut was against the Raiders, and they're terrible. San Francisco's not terrible, so I don't expect him to have a great game, but he's going to be the headline. I think Cleveland keeps this close.
First game for I like Atlanta over the Jets. Oh, that's a game we shouldn't have to pick. I just, you know, I'm certainly not going to watch any of that game. I agree with you on San Francisco, Cleveland. It's hard to pick Cleveland outright, but I just think the crowd is really the Browns fans are really in favor of Sanders here, and I would think that they're going to be behind him, and the Browns are going to be competitive in the game. I certainly like the I think it's 5.5 points now. I think I'd take the points here, but San Francisco is a better team. They should win the game outright.
All right, Jacksonville minus 6.5 at Tennessee. I got the Jags on Sunday, and then Houston plus 3.5 at Indianapolis, and I'm taking the Colts and Daniel Jones to step up and have. I'm not giving up on Daniel Jones. Some people are already saying that Jones is going to not have a good finish to this season. I'll stick with Daniel Jones and take the Colts on Sunday.
I agree with you on Jacksonville. I think I'm taking the points here. Tennessee is finding a way to stay in games, especially at home, but you're not good enough to beat Jacksonville. Indianapolis has a tough remaining schedule, and this is one of the tough games, but I think they're better than Houston. They're at home, so I will give the points there, and I don't think Daniel Jones isn't the reason they win or lose anyways. It's Jonathan Taylor and their defense and our buddy Tyler Warren, the rookie tight end. That's the reason they win games, and they still have those players. So let's go with Colts.
Don't you love Tyler Warren at the tight end spot? Man, oh, man, is he good. Going to have a great NFL career. New Orleans, Pete, plus 5.5 at Miami. I got the Dolphins on Sunday winning that game. And Arizona, plus 2.5 at Tampa. And Mayfield and the Bucs are going to bounce back with a win here.
And New Orleans at Miami, another game we shouldn't have to pick. I've got Miami just coming off the bye, and they have more talent than the Saints, especially at the quarterback. And then I like Tampa Bay to bounce back as well against Arizona. I mean, the Bucs have lost, two or three in a row. I think they get back on top of the division in this game.
Rams, best team in football. Most people think the Rams are the best team in the NFL. Hard to argue that. And they're a minus 9.5 at Carolina. I like the Rams to win and cover that. And then Minnesota, plus 9.5 at Seattle. And the Seahawks are going to win that game at home.
Yeah, I like the Rams to win. 10.5 is a lot of points, but I think right now I'll give the points and take my chances. But that's Carolina's an improved team, but they're not good enough to beat the Rams. And I like Seattle at home. I some reason think Minnesota's going to stay in that game, so I'm going to take the Seahawks outright, but the Vikings with the points.
The Buffalo Bills, Pete, minus 4.5. We've got Pete Doherty, who is in charge of the NFL picks that you see in the Times Union. There's 8 of us in the panel, and we have a lot of fun throughout the year to see who is going to be the champion when it's all over. But Buffalo minus 4.5 at Pittsburgh. I'm going Bills here. It'd be the second week in a row that I've gone against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then Las Vegas plus 9.5 at the Chargers. Easy pick there. It'll be the Chargers at home.
Yeah, surprising. Your picks came in. You still had you didn't pick Pittsburgh again. That spreads down to 3.5. I like the Bills. They seem to do an every other week thing right now, and this would be the week to play well. Steelers, I just don't think have enough offense to take advantage of Buffalo's struggling defense. So I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah,
I agree. The Chargers are my survivor pool pick this week against the Raiders. 9.5 points isn't enough. I think it's. Chargers are going to roll there.
You are right. That is a lock. You're going to have no problems with that, Pete Doherty. Denver minus 6.5 at Washington. I'm going Denver here on the road. And then Monday night, Giants at New England. I took the Patriots, but I do think no matter who's at quarterback for the Giants Monday night, that they're going to be able to keep this close right now. Giants plus 7.5. I got New England to win, but that'll be closer than that. And then Denver to win at Washington.
I agree on both your outright winners. I disagree on the points. I've taken Washington plus 6.5 against Denver. Just feel like the Commanders will find a way on Sunday Night Football. They don't want to get embarrassed. They'll find a way to stay in the game. And Denver does not have an explosive offense. They have an effective offense. But defensive game, 6.5 points, that's a lot to cover. I'll take Washington. Same with New England. I've got New England winning the game outright, though. I think the Giants play close games so often. I think maybe they're going to wear down and just they're due for to lay an egg at some point, and I think the Patriots are going to roll on Monday night.
All right, and that wraps up Week 13 of the NFL season. We'll see how it all shakes out, starting with the big three tomorrow, and then a big game on Friday as well. Pete Doherty, happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend. Have a great Turkey Day, great weekend, and we'll talk this time next week.
You too, Roger. I'll talk to you a week from tomorrow.
Look forward to it, Pete. Happy Thanksgiving. All right, we're back on Big Board Sports Game Day for the UAlbany women's team. They've got RPI at 2 o'clock, so if you're looking for something to do, if you have the day off today, and a lot of people do, or maybe you're cutting out of work early and you're done at noon and you want to go watch a little basketball. The UAlbany women host RPI, a little matinee game at 2 o'clock. The head coach is Colleen Mullen, and she joins us here for a few minutes to preview the matchup and talk about her team's 4-2 start to the season. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? I'm doing great.
We're good, too. We're good. Nice seeing you yesterday. I had you all over the TV last night.
Thank you so much. You're always doing such a great job covering us, and we really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I'm multitasking over there yesterday, Coach. You know,
you're good. You're a man of many talents.
I'm holding the camera. I'm holding the microphone, and making Colleen Mullen look great on camera, and it all worked out.
That's well done by you.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Good filter choice there.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah. So give me your take on the RPI matchup first, and I'll dive into really what has been a great start to your team. And you know, RPI will look at this as a big opportunity for their team, their program, their players to get to play against a Division I school.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a really cool game for both of us. I think it's another great game for the community, another local team, just like playing against Siena. It's, you know, to be able to have, you know, a game where, you know, two Capital Region teams are facing off. I think that's always fun for, you know, the campus and certainly the area. But if we rewind to last year, RPI came out really strong against us. I think they might have, like, made the first couple baskets. And, you know, they certainly, you know, came out with a lot of energy. And it's a lot of the same this year. They've got a lot of returners coming back. They have their leading scorer is also coming off the bench. So I guess we can ask the head coach the same question of why he's coming off the bench. But I think it's, you know, they play a lot of players. They're, you know, they try to score really quick in their offense. They have a lot of 3-point shooters, and they're just scrappy. And when you're playing against a team that has nothing to lose, like on paper, they're not supposed to win the game, right?
No.
But if we look across the country, there's been a lot of upsets. I mean, Scranton just beat Pitt. You know, there's been other teams that have, you know, Rhode Island beat NC State. There's been some upsets, and, you know, that's not what we're looking for tonight. You know,
no.
So we're giving RPI, or today, RPI, you know, our best game. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the name on the jersey says. We approach every game the same way with our process, and we're going to continue to defend. And, you know, we prepared the scout just the same way. You know, we are going to execute the scout for 40 minutes. We're going to try to pressure them. We're going to try to turn that pressure defense into early baskets for us. And we want to continue to improve. Like, this game is important, that hopefully, you know, a lot of players have the opportunity to contribute. Our team can get better, and we can continue this momentum that we already have as we head into a road stretch here coming up next week.
Yeah, you got three on the road here. And yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Keep the momentum going from the St. Bonaventure win last week, which I was really impressed with, and you must have been ecstatic about that outcome. You hit them down by 18 at one point. You end up winning by 9. I don't know who was favored in that game, but I'm assuming the Bonnies were. But that's a great road win early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it was – they had, you know, they were undefeated at the time and playing, you know, at home, and we had yet to get a road win. So, of course, facing a really talented team in Syracuse, Rhode Island, like I said, just upset NC State, so that was a huge win for them. So, obviously, two very challenging teams that we played opponents on the road. But being able to defeat Bonaventure with their type of confidence that they had on their home floor, certainly going for, I'm pretty sure, their best start in like many, many years, also would have matched their win total from the previous year. So yeah, I mean, we just executed for 4 quarters. I mean, every time, you know, St. Bonaventure kind of made a push, we came back and the players made huge plays. Our defense was really, really, really solid in that first half. We were playing with physicality. St. Bonaventure really couldn't get any easy baskets. We kept them to really low numbers in the first half. In the second half, we had some foul trouble. They adjusted kind of to our physical play. But, you know, every time that they came down, we answered. And just with, you know, again, a great performance by Amaya Stewart, Delaney Hill came up with some huge plays, Martina solid. Just across the board, we just have, you know, a really balanced team, and they really play together. And so I was really thrilled for them that we kind of got that game under our belt.
Well, defense has always been your thing and a staple with your your programs and watching your teams play, and this year's certainly no different. You feel like after, what, six games that defensively you're ahead of where you thought you might be, at least on that end of the floor?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, taking the trip to Italy, being able to have that extra time with the team before preseason started, I think has really served us well. With so many, newcomers, combination of freshmen and transfers, there's different philosophies, coming from high school, you have to really adjust to the speed and physicality. Coming from, being a transfer, you're adjusting to a new system. It's teaching old dogs new tricks. And luckily, the players that we got, the transfers, they're really eager to learn, quick to buy in, and just really want to be a part of a successful program. So they've been able to pick it up quickly. We're still learning and growing every game, but just that they buy in so much and they're so committed to the defensive end, at this stage in the season, you really can compete with anybody if you have defense. And defense travels. It stays home. It goes away. It's not always easy to shoot in other people's, gyms. But again, it's like that's something that's going to need to carry us throughout the season and into conference season and into postseason play. That defense is what we're going to hang our hats on, and we always have, and it served us well.
Yeah, there's no doubt, man. When you are a good defensive team, that can overcome a lot. And you're having a bad night offensively, but you're good on the defensive side. You're right in the thing. Defense and rebounding have always been my two big things. And you got Amaya Stewart, and obviously, Coach, we bring her up all the time. But after six games, she looks like she's going to be a really good player this season and in the future for your program. And already she's, I think, twice now been named the America East Rookie of the Week.
Yeah, she has, and she's just really special. And what you see in her as a basketball player, it's equal as a person. She's a very charismatic person, and she plays with a lot of joy and a lot of excitement. And she's certainly a crowd favorite because she's just emotive on the court. And she can just do so many things well, around the basket. She's got a nice touch. She can go to her left hand or right hand. She's also really trying to expand her game with her face-up game, reverse pivoting. She's got a great shot. She can make a pull-up jumper. She can shoot the three. She hasn't yet. And really just her defense trying to adjust to that. And I think in the beginning of the year, as preseason started, we really challenged her because she was trying to bully in there and use her size. I'm like, at the college level, people are going to be your size. And it's going to be a lot difficult to just be outmatching people's size and strength because there's, bigger players at the college level. And she's really started to make those adjustments and expand her game. And the more she can do that, the more she'll be successful this year, because I know for a fact she's going to be starting to get 1, 2, 3 people thrown at her, similar to Kayla Cooper did. So that's going to have to be an adjustment to her when she starts to see those double and triple teams.
Now, when you go to the game today, folks listening, and you're going to see the UAlbany RPI game at 2 p.m., check out number 9. She's a good player and only a freshman out of West Reading, Pennsylvania. Is Laura Langerman your best three-point shooter?
Right now, I think she's still number one in the country, if you can believe it.
Wow.
I know it's kind of a small sample size, but still impressive, shooting in the 70s. And I think for her, just shooting what we call above the line shots, really good shot selection. And when you're not forcing shots and you're taking good quality shots, you're going to shoot a higher percentage, maybe not so much 70%, but I'll knock on wood that she continues to knock them down. And that's going to continue to open up my inside and vice versa.
Well, a great start to the season, Coach Mullen, 4-2, and good luck today against RPI. Happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, the team, and we'll talk this time next week.
Thanks so much, Roger. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, same to you. That's Colleen Mullen, the head coach. Honestly, she is a tremendous. I know I say this all the time, but I like the way she coaches. Let's just put it that way. And we are back on Big Board Sports to begin the third hour of our show on this Wednesday. Nice to have you aboard. Roger Weiland with you, along with the head coach of the Adirondack Thunder, Sylvain Cloutier, who joins us in this time slot every week. And boy, what a weekend coming up, starting tonight and through the weekend up in Glens Falls at Harding Mazzotti. Good afternoon, Coach. How are you?
Good afternoon. No, I'm doing well. Thank you.
What a week you got coming up here, my friend.
Yeah, we got 4 and 5, and obviously Thanksgiving in between, and
yeah,
everyone's families are in town. It's it's a busy week, but you know what? It's nice to be back home and finally play some home games.
Yeah, you're certainly due for that. How did you recap Friday and Saturday on the road at Indy?
Yeah, Indy. I mean, Friday night we pretty much the opposite of what happened Friday to Saturday. We dominated the game on Friday night, barely gave them anything, and I think we gave them three shots in the third period that game, a total of 16, and we ended up losing 2-1, and and then on Saturday night it was the opposite. They dominated the first two periods, and Jeremy stood on his head, Jeremy Brodeur, and then we ended up finding a way to win it. It was a 0-0 game, and we wanted them to shoot out after the overtime.
Don't you love when goaltenders stand on their head? I love it when they're in a grin. They're locked in like that, Coach. I mean, he stopped 39 of 41 shots on the weekend.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know what? Like, you got to give credit to both goalies. It was a goaltending battle all weekend. I mean, really, there was only three goals scored in 120 minutes of hockey in regulation. And to go in overtime, those guys just kept both teams in. And, as a coach, you got to be happy with, both goaltenders. But, yeah, Jeremy was superb. And, obviously, we would like to keep riding him right now. But we can't do that tonight. So Malik's going to be in net tonight. He came down from Utica. So.
Okay. I was going to say, you look at it, Brodeur's only lost once in regulation this season. But, yeah, how do you use your goaltending rotation over the course of the next four games?
Yeah, I mean, with Jacob Malik getting sent down from Utica, and obviously New Jersey wants him to play, so he's going to start tonight and start Friday, and then we'll have Jeremy play Saturday and Sunday night. So
okay,
that's the rotation we're going to go with. And he's a good goaltender too, so he's a big body, 6'4", and he's one of their top prospects, so it's nice to get him down here.
See what he can do for sure, and your penalty kill, you're pushing all the right buttons there, Coach Cloutier. You've been perfect in the last three games.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's we started the year off pretty well, then we went in, I wouldn't say a slump in it, but we got picked apart a little bit, so we readjusted, and the guys are buying in and working. You got to all work the power play, right? There's four of you, so, and also your goaltender's got to be your best penalty killer, and Jeremy was that. For us, and now we just got to find a way. We had our chances on the power play too. Like, our special teams need to win you hockey games, and if we can keep running our power play over 20%, and if we can get our PK up to the high 80s and low 90s, we'll be in good shape.
Coach, we talked about Justin Taylor last week, and he did it. Played in his 900th professional game Friday night, and he scored a goal.
Yeah, no, he, to play 900 games, like, it's unbelievable, right? That's a huge accomplishment, and he's probably going to reach 1,000 if he keeps working hard and stays in good shape. Like, he's right there, and some of the young guys in our room should follow his lead. He's always at the rink early. He prepares himself like a real pro, and that's why he's been around for so long. But, yeah, for him to score that goal and have his family there to come watch him play. We had his young son come in the dressing room and do the starters for him. So, yeah, it was quite the night for him. It would have been nice if we got the W.
Yeah, that would have been the capper for sure. But, man, what an accomplishment by Justin. And he's nine games away from setting the record for all-time games played in the ECHL. 884 is the current record. So just an incredible feat. And then you got to give it up to Brandon McManus, right? He had a four-game point streak for you that finally ended on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Manny's been good for us all season. He's been consistent, and then he went scored that big goal in the shootout. I think he's perfect on this season, either 3-for-3 or 4-for-4. I don't have my stats in front of me, but he's been Mr. Clutch for us. And when Manny scores, our team goes too. So we rely on him heavily, and hopefully here he'll have a good homestand for us.
All right, how do you match up now with the next four games? You got Trois-Rivières tonight at 7, and then you go three straight with Worcester.
Yeah, I mean, I'm learning here too. Like, it's hard to see, even if you check their roster. I think Trois-Rivières had about two call-ups last night maybe, so it's tough to see until we see their lineup. But if they have their full lineup, they're a good, fast-skating team, and They're heavy at the back end. They got some big boys back there, and their goaltending's been solid. So it should be a good matchup with them tonight. Should be a very good hockey game. And then over the weekend with Worcester, I saw one of the goalies got called up and one of their defensemen. So you don't know if they'll be back. So until we see their roster around 5 p.m., we're not sure who we're playing against, but we prepare ourselves anyways that they have a full roster.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm sure you'll pack them up, everybody in the holiday spirit, and let's drop the puck and see how it unfolds in the next four games. But happy Thanksgiving, Sylvain, to you and your family and to the Adirondack Thunder family, and we appreciate a few minutes here on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you guys and your family also, and enjoy the day tomorrow. And then, yeah, we're excited. I'm excited to be home, and I'll be able to see my family too, which will be nice.
Very good. Sylvain, thank you for a few minutes. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Happy Thanksgiving. Sylvain Cloutier and a big stretch of home games up in Glens Falls for the Adirondack Thunder.